Peace.
Not gonna lie, so when I was younger, I would say, like, you know how we all go through this identity crisis type thing when we're younger?
That's good.
Yeah, kind of. Like, you don't want to be like
these friends, any friends.
Oh, okay.
So
do wonders like AI anomalies.
I know that, right? Saga, who was on
the same beats. You're definitely more lyrical. So, like, you're not.
I actually knew a guy in Miami that he was going to the same
church. And I tweeted, like, last week that someday I'm going to have a song with him. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell, and this is the Mitch Durrell Show. And it looks way better now. I'm super excited. I feel like it sounds way better. I feel like it looks way better. And hopefully I'm better with it. Bear with me for this. This is the first interview of, like, I'm calling it, like, the new era of the show. So any bugs that there are to work out will be worked out in this episode. But I got a friend with me today. I decided to go with someone I'm a little familiar with because it's a new setup. So my guy Berg on the beat is your long name. I call you Berg. What's up, bro?
Yeah, everybody does. That's cool.
thanks for coming, man. So I want to dive right into it. So I almost forgot. This is episode 24. So like I said, working out the bugs. We weren't doing episode numbers like that, but I decided let's just title it and see how high of a number we can get to. So episode 24, this is the Kobe episode. No pressure. So you
Kobe's
are...
always eight to me, so we already passed it, so we're good.
I need to go back and see who eight was. was second Kobe episode. So you are a producer, among other things. So tell me first. Well, I guess it kind of gives it away because of your name under there. But why did you pick the name Berg on the beat for your producer name?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Well, first off, thanks for having me on the show. I think this is awesome. I was just hyping up Mitch just a minute ago because, man, he is so gifted at building community and tying us all together. And it's only good for us. So, man, shout out
appreciate
to you. Thank
that,
you
bro.
So much. But yeah, Berg on the beat. So I had no clue. Like, I felt like, I don't know, everything I was coming up with when I started producing just felt like it was in vain. Like, I was just, I don't know, it just felt kind of like selfish just a little
bit.
Yeah,
not for you.
But man, I really admire my parents, and my mom's pet name for my dad is this might be weird to some people, but my mom's pet name for my dad is Berg. So like, I always wanted to be like my dad, and I was like, oh man, my dad's Berg. And so, but she like hardly ever calls him that, but it just stuck out to me. And yeah, I had some friends who would just shorten my last name to Berg.
Right,
and so, man, I just went with it because I was like, there's like a giant like European EDM artist that goes by Berg.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to be a little different. I'm just going to go by Berg on the beat. And yeah, that's that was really kind of it just stuck. And
it's
so,
a super dope name.
Yeah, man,
and
I appreciate
it's super,
it.
I feel like it's dope when you can like include your name in it. Because so for me, since I'm Mitch Durrell, literally because my government name is Mitchell Durrell Davis. And I never wanted to go by something that wasn't my name, because then you got people calling you like Lil This or like, like, no offense to like Mission, but like someone's calling him. He tweeted like, family members will call me like Mission, and I'm just like, I don't want to be called anything. I barely like when family members call me Mitch Durrell, even though it's my name technically. I'm just like, I don't want people walking around calling me something that's not my name, because it feels weird. So since you got that in there, I think that's dope.
Yeah.
How long have you been producing then?
Let's see. I bought my very first copy of Reason like 2010, I think.
Okay.
So we're looking at like 12 years now.
Nice.
Like, I didn't take myself seriously until probably about 5 years ago, but nice. I started playing around with it up to 10 years ago.
So I always wanted, so producers are always cool to me, because with rappers, it's typically like maybe we were into writing or poetry, and then we're like, well, I want to do this to music. Producers usually have a different relationship with music, because you have to kind of know it and be able to play? So like, what even got you into music in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had zero music theory, but I've figured out how to cheat the system to make sure it does sound good.
Right.
Part of it too is like you mess with it enough, your ears get trained to where you're like, okay, that's off key, or that's not. Like, fun fact, whenever Post Malone's I think is it Congratulations, I can't remember which song he has, there's an Attitude 808 on that and nobody knows it.
And it went
platinum. So and with that being said, little side note, your music doesn't have to be perfect because you can go platinum with an out of key note, just so you know. I really just kind of started messing around with Reason. It was Reason 5. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, I used to be embarrassed by this, but now I just own it. So no, I'm cool with it. But that was like right when like EDM became a big thing. Mm-hmm. And I always loved hip hop. Like the very first album I ever had was Get Rich or Die Trying. Mm-hmm. Like I bought that in the sixth grade. Really? And I was like, this is like the coolest music I've ever heard, because I grew up not being allowed to listen to hip hop, mm-hmm. but I would be able to get it whenever I was like in school. So I was like, man, this is like the coolest music I've ever heard. But like, I always like imagined like big studios, like mm-hmm. you had to have a big studio with like an MPC and all this stuff to make those kinds of beats. I don't know why I thought that. So, but whenever I like started listening to EDM, I was like, how the heck do they make these crazy sounds? Started looking it up. I was like, oh, okay, they can do it on their computer. So I didn't like, it didn't register to me that you could do hip hop also. So I started off doing like all kinds of like EDM stuff. I got really into sound design. So like, playing with synthesizers to make them do all kinds of different fun things, which I think that's probably the biggest benefit of starting out with EDM stuff, because it's the production side of it is way more sound design than hip hop is. Like hip hop doesn't have, like most hip hop producers get their sound packs from somebody and just go with it.
Loops. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And which is cool, because like there's a giant argument like you shouldn't use loops, or you mm-hmm. should make your own loops, whatever that is. But I just enjoyed messing with sounds and making them sound the way I wanted them to sound, which ended up paying dividends now, because like if I don't like the way something sounds, I know how to go and change it to make it sound like the way I like it, because presets are great. Mm-hmm. But if I want the preset to maybe not release as long, or maybe attack a little slower, or whatever it is, those things are really easy for me to go and manipulate now. So that was kind of like what really started getting me into it. And then I was like doing corporate work, also trying to do entrepreneurship on my own, all kinds of stuff for like the last, before I started taking it seriously, I was doing all that kind of stuff, and realized pretty quick that I didn't have a creative outlet. And if you're creative and you don't have a creative outlet, you just get frustrated. Like I was just angry because, and I didn't realize this because I didn't have a creative outlet. I wasn't able to use the gifts that I was given. And so, yeah, that's when I was like, I got to do something on the side to maybe generate some revenue. And so that's when I was like, man, I'm going to start, like, I love hip hop. Like, why am I not making hip hop?
Right.
And I started really focusing on that.
So the funny question that with artists, and even this is kind of a debate, but there's like hip hop and then, well, I'm a Christian hip hop artist, or I'm a Christian rapper, or I'm a rapper that's Christian. So do you consider yourself like a Christian producer? Because that's always kind of like a joke. Like, so my guy Poetics, I know he would consider himself like a producer who is a Christian. But he'll make beats for whoever, and I feel like that's fine. Because he says, it would feel weird to say I'm a Christian producer, because it's like, well, how do you make a Christian beat?
Yep.
Can you make not a secular beat? Like, it's all the same. So what are your thoughts on that?
Man, I feel like that's a loaded question, but it's a good one. And it's been, and it kind of gets beat into the ground a little bit, I feel like. But my perspective on it is, I'll do beats for anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll see some of the stuff like Carvello's doing. Like, some of those guys are not followers of Jesus, right? And because I'll be like going through my stories, I'm like, oh man, there's booty cheeks on my screen, right. But shout out him, man. That's I'm for it. I think there's a famous quote by Martin Luther about the shoemaker is not a great shoemaker because he puts crosses on the shoes. Mm-hmm. He's a great shoemaker because he makes a great shoe.
Right.
Whenever like my hot water heater just went out. When I hired the hot water heater, I wanted a good hot water. When I hired a plumber, I wanted a good plumber. I didn't want a Christian plumber.
Yeah.
Like, cause that doesn't solve the problem, right? So I think it might be a little bit different on the lyricism side of stuff. Maybe you could have an argument both ways, but man, if you want to make art, I'll make art with you. That's what I enjoy doing.
So do you, and that's where the thing comes where it's like, would you consider yourself part of Christian hip hop or like part of the Christian hip hop? I don't even know if I want to say genre or like space, or is it just kind of something that, you know of and you'll work with artists in that space, but you don't necessarily consider yourself like part of the community maybe?
Yeah. So I decided to basically niche down to Christian hip hop just because I felt like, man, why not? Like, because at least I have a connection there, and it's so much easier to network with people when you have a connection. Like, if you all went to the same university, like that's the connection that you have, or you went to the same high school, or you enjoy BMWs, whatever it is, like you got that similarity. So I think that's what drew me at first. Also, man, I'm gonna shout out my guy Ruslan. Ruslan was the first person to like really offer me help. Because I was wanting to get better. I genuinely was like, I will give you money if you will help me get better. Because I wanted it, right? Because I believe, you know, you should invest in your craft. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to get help. And, you know, Ruslan was there from like almost the get-go when I decided to take it seriously. And he gave me constructive criticism that made me better versus like other outlets that I've used that was just like, I just got clowned. So I was like, this was not constructive or helpful at all. And so, man, shout out Ruslan, because he was this was before, like, you know, he was making all the
big
the thumbnails. But you know, I gotta give him a hard time. But yeah, he came in big for me, and he welcomed me, and that was really what kind of initialized me into, okay, I'm gonna do Christian hip hop. Because like my first, he was the one that encouraged me to go release his singles rather than be a behind the scenes producer. And so it pays way less, but I'm cool with it because it feels a lot more collaborative. And that's like what I enjoy that way more, because I know when we worked, or when we first started chatting, you and I, about potentially working, I'm pretty sure I told you this, I don't know, because I usually tell almost everybody I end up working with that I'm way more interested in being working together to make something awesome than I am about getting a quick beat flip. That's just like, that's just me. Even though I love having money in the bank and food on the table, that's cool too. But like, I don't have to worry about selling beats to do that. So I have the luxury to just kind of build by song, single by single, working with people collaboratively. So yeah, that's kind of that whole gist of what got me into CHH anyways.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? It's B Plus, and welcome to yet another Recap Countdown. If this is your first time checking out a Recap Countdown and listening to one of these, this is just my unique way of doing an album review. So today we're going to be taking a look at Trip Lee's latest project entitled The End. Now, we know that Trip Lee is one of those initial members of Reach Records, so we know that he's a legend in this space. But at the same time, we know that we have not heard much from him since about 2016 when he released an EP entitled The Waiting Room. So now here we are in 2022, and Trip Lee is dropping some new music. And I don't know about you guys, but I always get a little bit nervous when one of our legends is coming out with a project and we haven't heard from him in a while, just because hip hop is always evolving. It's always changing. There's always these new ways, and we just don't know if these legends are going to come back and try to dabble in a little bit of those new things, or if they're just going to stick to their guns and do what they normally do. So I was really excited to hear about this Trip Lee project, and you got to stick around to the end to find out how I feel about this project. But let's go ahead and get into this Recap Countdown really quickly. Here's what I do. I take a look at my 5 favorite bars, my 4 favorite beats, my 3 favorite tracks, my 2 favorite features, and I'll round everything out with one final recap. So without any further ado, let's get into this review.
5 bars.
I know some churches are filled with villains, living for them dollar bills they stealing. I wish you see all the men and women really living by what his will's revealing. I wish nobody was tricked into thinking Jesus is what Republicans be feeling. I'm glad it's all my stuff, it don't define me. You feel like it do, and I know it's a lie, but it feel like it's true. But I need his eyes.
I appreciate the detailed answer. I feel like, because I was afraid you might just give him like 2 sentences. I love the interviews where I could just keep talking and talking and listening and learning stuff. The thing about the doing like the singles and kind of like collaborations is that you kind of even if it's slow, you're building like a name and like a brand and your pit. Like, again, I'll use Poetics. It's like he's like a producer with a face, and like he puts out his own singles. Like,
he does great.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, and I was rocking with him when I first came to CHH around like the end of 2016. And he obviously was nowhere near as big, but like people knew him. They're like, oh, this is Poetics. Mm-hmm. He, you know, he develops relationships. He'll put out his own stuff. So it's like, the more you do that, if you end up in a place where you're that big and like you're like almost a brand now, you can put out your own beats and just have them stream well instead of having to sell them. And then on the other end, it's just like developing the relationships. Like, you're one of the first people, and I've, you know, for my mixtapes, I have tons and tons of rappers and producers on there, but like, you were one of the first people who, when we first started talking, you were like, hey, we should hop on the phone. And for me, somebody who's got like slight to like intermediate anxiety, it's like, oh man, like I'm dreading this, but it's like, okay, no, like I, you know, this will be fine. And then it ended up being like super productive. And it's like, okay, this person, like I'm getting to know this person instead of it just being like a guy who, you know, send me a beat once and we never talk again.
Right.
That's why you're on my show. So it's definitely the fact that you have the luxury that you don't, you know, you're not like, if you don't sell a beat this month, you won't eat type of thing. It's probably beneficial because then you can focus more on like the collaborative instead of the like, please buy my beat or I will not make it.
Exactly. No, why do we make music, right? Are we making music to make money? Or are we making music to make something that's we're proud of or we feel like scratches that creative itch? And I think that's it. I still respect the hustle. Like, I started out doing beat leasing and all that fun stuff, and I made more money doing that than I did slanging beats. That, man, I don't know what it is, but Christian hip hop artists, I love you guys, but man, you guys are a little cheap. You're just a little cheap when it comes to beats.
Yeah.
And anyways, I still love you guys. I'll still work with you. But it's like, I, for whatever reason, leasing beats, it was just more profitable. But I chose to stop that and take Rue's advice and start building, actually getting on the phone, actually talking. Because believe it or not, I would identify as an introvert.
Really?
I'm good with people that I know. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where I always have to remind myself, if you're not getting uncomfortable, you're not growing.
Yep.
And so like, that's kind of the pep talk I always have to give myself right before getting on the phone with anybody, because I don't know your mm-hmm. background. I don't know anything about you. I'm just this white kid that grew up in a small agricultural town that loves making trap beats, you know. Mm-hmm. That's just who I am. So anyways, that's kind of the idea behind it.
Now, we're definitely similar in that regard, to where it's like, I constantly have to tell, like, almost that same thing. Like, I have to be, being uncomfortable is fine. You'll end up becoming comfortable, and it's never like as scary or bad as you think it's going to be.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's tough to get over, because in my head, it's like, this is a nightmare. Like, I don't know why, but in my head, like, this meeting or this talk is, I'm dreading this, and then it ends up being fine and usually something that's productive. And in our case, moving to the next subject, perfect transition. I don't remember exactly how we got in touch. I think I was just kind of saying I wanted producers to hit me up because I was trying to find beats
for shout out Trutha retweeted you and said, I need beats, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna DM this guy, because I always have packs ready anytime I see somebody saying I need beats. Really? So
everyone does. I instantly regretted tweeting that, because it was producers from all over the world that were like, yo, here. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, okay, wait a second.
So you know that like there's producers that have bots that monitor Twitter.
I learned.
And so as soon as like, I need beats or the phrases pop up, like they have automated emails that will like, if you have your email anywhere, it'll send it to you. It's crazy.
That's like smart, but scary. Because I was like,
oh, it's crazy.
Wait a second. Like, this is not, I got way more beats than I ever could have anticipated. But I do remember you mentioned we had Trutha as a friend in common, and he's one of the first people I met. He's the reason I have this new camera, because he suggested this camera like a year ago. So shouts out Trutha. But I remember I think you sent me like a pack, and it was like we were meant to meet each other, because I am the type of rapper who I usually love beats that people hate or really don't like. I usually consider myself liking weird stuff.
Yeah.
I remember there was this contest that KJ52 did, and he said you could why is it da, 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 X. He said, I don't know why it's acting like it's about to end in 10 minutes. It should not, because there's only two of us, but sorry, Daryl, we're gonna have to edit this part out. If it ends, well, I'll probably have to call you back. It's never ended before.
No, it's all good.
What was I about to say to you? do you remember what I was just saying?
It's something about a contest, KJ52.
Oh yeah, so KJ had a contest, and you could pick between a couple of beats to rap on, and I picked the least popular option. And I remember again, Poetics. He was like, you chose that beat, like the beat that sounds horrible. Like he hated it, and I was like, it's unique. Like I thought it was cool. So I remember the beat. I'm pretty sure it was in the first pack you sent. The beat that I ended up doing for Babel, or choosing to make Babel. I loved it, but I could tell that it was something that, like, you know, not a lot of people would hear that and be like, this is great. And I remember I liked how you had the 808s. But I did have you end up changing them, but I still like the way that you had them at the beginning. But I remember, you know, Range.
Uh-huh.
Cause y'all did a song together, I think.
Yeah.
He hit me up after the project came out and was like, that beat that you did for Babel, you got that from Berg, right? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, I thought so, because I'm pretty sure I heard that beat and I was like,
he was like, I love Range.
Nothing I could do.
Yeah. Range is my guy. Yeah,
he was like, I'm shocked that at what you came up with that, because I heard that and I was like, how could anyone come up with that? For me, I feel like, especially with the mixtapes, when I hear something that's different, I'm like, this is, I want something that's different, because I'm usually gonna get a few different artists. And kind of, to be honest, I was kind of, that song is one of the ones I like the most, because I'm kind of impressed with myself that I had the vision to
I feel
like if it was a week later and I had heard it, I probably would have been like, I don't know what to do with this. But like, I immediately knew that I, you know, what I wanted it for, what the theme was gonna kind of be. And so I remember you said you kind of like playing with different sounds.
I'll like, my goal is like put in like 80 like fairly like normal beats, and then I'll put in like, or 80% normal beats, and then like 20% like, okay, this is kind of out there kind of beat.
Right.
Because I feel like that's how music moves forward, is every now and then there's that one thing clicks for something that's different.
Facts.
And then like, that's always kind of the goal. But yeah, that was we call it like a re-space instead of like an 808. And so that was like the original mix of that beat. For those that don't know, it was like really wide, and that's like usually like a don't break that rule, and don't let your 808s or your bass get wide, which is like a big no-no in mixing. Right. So I was 100% expecting that to get mixed down to mono. But that's like, you know, I love like trying stuff like that.
No, I feel like breaking the rules isn't cool until someone makes it cool, and then it's like, yo, like, perfect example.
Yeah.
Somebody who, if he was not famous, a lot of people would be like, I don't really rock with his beats, is Pharrell. Wasn't Pharrell, if he was just some dude on the street, it's like, listen to my beats, you'd be like, this is not, like, this is so weird. Like, this isn't. But when it's Pharrell, it's like, you've made so many amazing things that it's like, even if I don't love this, it's like, I can get behind this because you're Pharrell and you are a genius.
Yeah, well, and then like after a lot of his stuff got popular, like everybody did the Pharrell 4 count.
Yeah.
You know what that is?
What is it?
It's like before a song starts, it goes dun, 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 dun. And
then it goes.
The beat, like the beat always does the 4 count beforehand. Gotcha. Yeah, and then everybody did that for a while.
There you go. That's what happens. You can start new trends. Maybe everyone's going to do the... What did you say? You said it was called the Reese, I think? Reese.
Yeah, it's called a Reese.
I remember I was like so fascinated because I was like, it's like an 808, but not. But it like doesn't hit as hard, but like I can hear it.
Yep.
And I think I just kind of psyched myself out and was like, you know what? I think I wanted to hit harder. So
It's all good. It's all good. It still turned out great. Like I feel like the hook like caught me off guard with how it tied in together and everything with it. It was dope.
What's super funny about that song is it is one of the most, that and my song Klondike are both songs where it's very polar lop. Like some people are like, I love this, and other people are like, this is my least favorite song. Like a good amount of people are like, I don't really like that Babel song. And it's funny because when I love a song, like you could tell me 100 people tell me they hate it, I'd be like, that's cool, but like I still know it's amazing. Like the hook, I think is probably Drew did exactly what I needed him to do. All the verses are perfect. The theme ended up working perfectly. The only thing I wish is that I had made a video for it. I wish I could get all four people together to make a video.
That'd be wild.
It really would. I'm just like, this song ended up.
Well, when you sent me the lineup, I was like, on my beat, that's crazy. And on this beat, because like that was like one of the weird beats I feel like I threw in the pack. So this beat's kind of different. But either he's gonna be like, this is awesome, or he's never gonna talk to me again. One or the other. So it's fine.
No, I always like the different things. We touched on the topic for a second, but deeper into it, how did you find God? That's always like an interesting, one of my favorite questions to ask, because my perspective is always usually different than most, because I was kind of, you know, I had parents that were both Christians, and I literally say I was almost like born into the church that I grew up going to, because they were they started going to that church when my mom was pregnant with me. So most people don't have that story, so I always like to hear other people's stories.
So I didn't grow up in a Christian household. I mean, my mom was real adamant about going to church on Sundays, but like my dad, like, not at all interested. Mm-hmm. And whenever I got saved was I think it was either before the third grade or like right after third grade, I can't remember. But it was at Vacation Bible School.
Really?
So, and I remember that moment like it was yesterday. Like, I could mm-hmm. feel, like, God's presence come over me. And that was awesome. And then, went through some broken youth groups, broken churches, got real distracted, got really into girls. And, that was, like, my main focus, right? And when I went to college, like, I went just off the deep end for about 3 months. And then, man, I just remember so it was funny because, like, you know, God like works like really funny ways.
Yeah.
One of them was is we used to go to this like summer youth camp every summer. It was called CIY, which is like Christ in Youth. Mm-hmm. And they had some guys there that were from a college ministry, and they basically were saying like, hey, only like 10% of people that go to youth group in high school end up going to a college ministry. So like, more than likely, most of you guys aren't even going to go to a college ministry or get plugged in. And man, my pride is the only thing that like took me to like a college ministry. So I got plugged into a college ministry, and man, it was great because I did athletics like all throughout high school and junior high and all that fun stuff. And so our group it was called Aggies for Christ, and man, we were just real active on like, you know, flag football, pickup basketball games, just like always busy. And then they like eventually invited me to a retreat, and then man, it was like God hit me with like a ton of bricks, like, man, look what you've been doing, like, and this is like, you feel so empty right now. And it's because you've been filling your heart with all these things that you've been told are going to be the best thing for you, and they're just not. And so, man, I was so fortunate that like God gave me some guys that were older than me that were willing to disciple and pour into me, because that's a rare commodity.
Yeah.
And fortunately, like, he put that in front of me, and they just took great care of me, and that was the turning point. And for me, like, spiritually, it's been, you know, I've had obviously seasons up and down. You know, we as Christians love saying seasons, but true. And I love all the memes about it, but that's kind of how it's been, man. That's kind of the story.
Very dope. It's funny because like it's interesting. So I grew up going to Church of Christ. I still do. It's a little different than like churches that my friends would go to, like Elevation or just like bigger churches. So like,
how dressed up do you have to be?
So that's the thing. And it's funny because people assume you don't have to be. It's just mm-hmm. that you will probably stick out like a sore thumb if you didn't dress up. But it's not like, there's not a rule that says, you know, you have to be dressed up. But like, there's a lot of the cultural Christian things that I didn't really know about until I kind of joined Christian hip hop. And one of those things was like seasons. Like, there wasn't really a word that got used that much. So when people were talking about like, oh, it's this season, I'm just like, is this? Like, I had never really, it wasn't a word that was used often. So that was one of those things where I was like, and that among a bunch of other things where I was like, oh, I didn't realize that this is like, I'm like, should I start saying this now? It's nothing I've ever said before, but it makes sense.
I haven't found a better word. So I'm still the meme. of season, so it's fine.
Speaking of a season that affected a lot of people, and luckily it's kind of looking like it might be ending soon, but I've been asking everybody since I started the show, how did the pandemic affect you both in like your music, work, faith, like everything?
Yeah, that's a good question. So let's see. It was, I feel like when it very first hit, what is that, like, or like January 2020, right? Yep. Something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, you know, we just didn't know what to expect. So since, you know, people are afraid of things they don't understand. So like naturally there was some fear there that it's like, okay, well, is this a really big deal or is this like
the flu?
Just a media entourage of fear mongering or whatever it might, you might call it. But, yeah, so fortunately, I live in Texas, so the pandemic basically ended 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm about to say, and, it never started.
Especially, like, West Texas, where I'm at, it's, like, it even ended before everywhere else in Texas. But, yeah, it was tough, too. And, I mean, as far as music goes, too, I kept making beats. Mm-hmm. You know, it was also really tough, too, for my friends who were having to deal with the murder of George Floyd. Mm-hmm. That was a big season for me, learning stuff that I didn't understand because I didn't grow up around it. Taking the time to kind of figure that out and learn more about it myself. And then on top of that, you know, it wasn't super like involved as far as collaborating and stuff, because that was a time for hurt and healing for a lot of my Black friends who are going through something. So I just, all I did was, you know, spend that time kind of learning about what happened, and then also just kind of kept making beats and kind of just strategizing on kind of what I saw myself going forward wanting to do, you know, professionally, musically, all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of good because it slowed everything down for a little while. And that was tough, and it was also good because, like, you know, as human beings, we were just talking about this. I know we weren't recording them, but we were talking about, you know, the hustle and the grind, and kind of how that is. Because I was working all day at a day job, and then I would come home and just, my goal was to try to pump out like 3 beats a night, and then whichever one stuck, I would post 3 beats a day to my, like, I had Airbit at the time, so Airbits. Mm-hmm. If you don't know, that's like similar to BeatStars. Yeah, but yeah, that's what I was doing, and just real focused on trying to pump out as much as I could, just because I knew the more that I'd pump out, the better I would get. And I was also during the time when, because right before the pandemic started, I actually was able to fly out and spend some time with Ruslan.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, I got to sit down with him, and we made a song, and it's so dope, and it's, I don't know if it's ever going to get released. So, but that's like, oh man, that's a, well, I think he wants to, it's, there's a third party that kind of makes that just a little more complicated. Gotcha, but gotcha. Yeah, that was a bummer. And, but I'm still optimistic, maybe eventually, cause I love working with Ru. He's awesome. And then, that right before that happened, that's kind of when I like hit that mode, like, oh, I'm going to just focus real hard on that. So yeah, that's how it was, pretty much for me. So.
Very dope. Yeah, it's funny because there always is a good amount of positive that came out of the pandemic for people, even though most people wouldn't say like, oh, I hope we go through this again. But it was like, a lot of positive that came. It's funny that you brought up the, well, not funny, but like interesting. You brought up like the George Floyd stuff, because I kind of forget that stuff happened for a couple reasons. One, because obviously the pandemic was starting and everyone was dealing with that. But also, like, because it was such a weird time for people that look like me, because it was like, it was almost like the world was discovering something that, like, we knew for a long time. So it's funny. That's the best way I can word it. That, you know, I wasn't upset at any of, like, my non-Black friends, like, reaching out. But, like, you got to imagine being a Black person who's had these non-Black people in their life for however long.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden you're getting a bunch of texts and messages and calls with people saying like,
yes,
I hope you're okay. And like, what are your thoughts on this? Can you explain this? It's like, it was like, this is good. This is a good dialogue and good, but it's like, you didn't ask any other time in like the 15 years you've had to ask. Like it was a really, really interesting time. And it was like the most, like, it almost felt like, it was just funny because I know white people in particular are like not trying to cause any harm, but it's also at the same time, it's like, I'm going through this and having to answer your questions and like get on the phone and explain things. It's like, this is a lot.
Man, I don't even remember who it was, but like when that was all going on and like there was all this like revelation for a lot of white people during that time, I can't remember who said it. Somebody was like, they were kind of like hammering it. They were like, your black friends are not responsible for explaining this to you. Here are your resources.
Right.
Like, you know, and I was like, yeah, that's not that I like reached out to anybody, but I was like, okay, I need to learn because I don't understand because I grew up small town,
right,
redneck, super out in the middle of nowhere type culture, right? So it was all completely different to me. So that was a great time for me to, you know, since it was slower, to actually spend some time reading some books and learning about it. Yeah.
Definitely a lot of positive. Of course, it's sad that like tragedy has to happen for some positive to happen, but also at the same time, I mean, I think God works in like we said, in interesting ways. And I feel like that was an example of it, because the timing was almost impeccable. It's like you have nothing to distract you from it. Like you're in your in the house. So it's like you can't even really run from this. So it's like you got to sit down and focus on it at least for a few months.
Yeah. That's a good question. So,
not a problem, man. So ramping down, how can, if anybody wants to buy a beat from you or just talk to you, how can they reach out to you?
Yeah, that's a good question. So again, kind of going back to what we talked about before, real big on relationship building. If I rock with you, the rule is I always give you a beat on me. The first one's always on me. And then if you want to buy one, just DM me. I don't really do a great job of putting like beats out on my Instagram. I probably should, but I only have capacity for so much with my day job. But DM me if you want a pack. I usually almost always have packs. And my packs always include what note or what key the song is in, the BPM, and other ways to contact me if you're interested.
And your at name is just Berg on the beat on
At Berg on the beat.
Very dope. All right. Shout out to Daryl from Bookkeeper for being my partner with this show. We've come a long way. I was laughing about it the other day because like if you just compare this episode to the very first episode, just miles apart. And it's like I haven't changed much. I mean, I've gotten a little better interviewing, but it was like I was the same kid wanting to talk to people. It just didn't look great, and now it's like I'm trying to get it to look better, and maybe more people tune in. The people that watch the shows appreciate it. So thank you, Daryl, for you know, believing in me and in the show and not calling me crazy when
shout out Daryl.
A new camera and a new mic and new lighting. He had to hear me talk for like weeks about like, I'm gonna get this and this and this.
Yeah.
And he's like, what does this do again? I'm just like, it does this and it's gonna make this better. so aside from the bugs from today, I think it'll all work out. Shout out to everybody who listens. If you watch on YouTube, you can comment and suggest people for me to interview. I've always said I want to just interview everybody, but giving me some ideas doesn't hurt. So again, appreciate you for being on, Berg.
Man, thanks for having me.
To have you on again, man. This was great.
Oh, I loved it.
Maybe without the difficulties, but and then appreciate anybody for watching, and I'll see you next time. Peace.
Hey.
Not gonna lie. So when I was younger, I would say like, you know how we all go through this identity crisis type thing when we're younger.
That's good.
Yeah, kind of. Like you don't want to be like
friends, indie friends.
Oh, okay.
So
do wonders like AI anomalies.
I know that, right? Saga, who was on,
rap on the same top beats. You're definitely more lyrical. So like you're not.
I actually knew a guy in Miami that he was going to the same.
And I tweeted like last week that someday I'm gonna have a song with him. I don't know how it's gonna happen, but it's gonna happen.